Let's open our Bibles today to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. That's in the New Testament. Page number 1374, if you have a Bible just like mine, but I doubt many of you do. Scarlett used to. I don't know if she still has that. You still got it? Okay. All right. We've been kind of discussing a subject on goal setting for the month of January and trying to instill in us a little bit of behavior modification, because that's what it takes to really make changes in our life. And change is sometimes hard. You know, as we looked at through the whole process that, most people are not willing to change. I believe the statistic was that 14% of people who have a heart attack are unwilling to modify their behavior and what they eat or to want to get exercise. So that kind of shows you that it's tough to change. But hopefully we, through the different processes of what we looked at, we gave you some information on how to do that. We have on our church website a link that you can go and listen to those sermons if you want to catch up. I kind of want to stay on that theme a little bit, but I want to look at it from first we change ourselves by the grace of God. Don't get me wrong. It's not, you know, mind over matter, things like that. But everything I say is by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what's working in our life and the Word of God. But now I want to look at the idea of changing the world. Changing the world. Because we've learned how to set goals, and so now we need to set some other goals. You know, we need to set our sights on a little bigger target in life. And that's the people around us in the world. You know, Jesus didn't tell the church to say to the world, come and get it. He told them to go and get them, didn't he? You know, evangelism is our responsibility. And, you know, we're going to look today at lifestyle evangelism. You know, we all have an opportunity not just to show what we know, but who we know. And we show who we know by the way we live. And that's important. So, you know, we know what it's like to maybe some of you guys maybe go out and pass out tracts, have done that before. I know I have. But today we're going to look at lifestyle evangelism, or look at it from the concept of being salt in this earth. So Matthew 5, verse 13 and 14, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill which cannot be hidden." We're going to stop right there. Father God, we thank you that you have called us to be salt and light. Lord, we thank you for the anointing here today to be able to stir us up on the inside, to be able to want more of you, and to desire to see what you're going to be doing with our lives here and living in these last days. Lord, I thank you just for hunger inside of us, Lord, that we're not going to be satisfied with just getting by, but Lord, we want to excel in the things of God. And Lord, right now I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, what does it mean to be salt? Jesus says here, you are called to be the salt of the earth. Now, in 2015, usually that doesn't really ring a bell with us to some degree. You know, we're used to terms like, you're cool. Maybe that's not in anymore, I don't know. I still think I'm cool. Although I dress myself today, I'm not sure I match, now that I'm out in the light. Next, maybe I remember people saying, oh, you're bad. And bad didn't mean you was bad, but man, bad, good. Some back in the day, they used to say you're rad, you're hip. But nobody ever really called us salty. You know what I mean? Somebody come up and called you salty, you know, I don't know how I'd take that. You know? I know in some places you might get in a fight. So salt's gotten a bad rap, especially living in these days for health reasons. If you have too much salt, what do you get? High blood pressure, right? That's something that some people have to stay away from. That's why if you go and eat at places like the Leisure Lounge or things like that, they don't put a lot of salt in the food because some people deal with high blood pressure. So the food's kind of what? A little blander than you are used to or what you really like. But back in the day, back when in Jesus' time and even way before that, salt was really important for survival. As a matter of fact, salt, you may not have known this. I didn't until the other day when I started looking at this a little bit deeper. We need salt to survive. Salt is that important in our life, and we don't even know it. But if we didn't have salt, we'd be in a little bit of trouble. Now, back in the day, you know, like I said, you know, wars were fought over salt. And in some cultures, salt had their whole, it governed their whole economy. They would use salt like money. That's how important it was. Because that salt was used for survival. And we're going to look at how it was today. There were wars that were fought over this, but like Goldilocks, with salt, you got to get it just right. You have to get it just right. And that's where sometimes we get into trouble. Because too much salt will kill you, won't it? High blood pressure? But I think too much salt for a Christian, to me, that's when they're, you know, being salty is a sign of spirituality, but if you're too salty, have you ever had somebody, or maybe you have made this mistake we all have, where we've been called holier than thou? You kind of think you're better than other people because, you know, you're closer to God than everybody else you think. So that's if you get too much salt. I don't know about you. I thought of a silly thing that, have you ever been at a restaurant? You went to dump the salt on your food and some kid, I suppose it was, oh, no adult would do that, you know. But some kid had loosened the lid and you dump it on your, open up your hamburger, your fries, and all of a sudden, just all kinds of salt fly out. Your food's unedible. You can't eat it because you had too much salt. And see, that's what it's like when the church sometimes goes into the world and sets the standard so high that even they can't meet it, but they try to make sinners try to meet that standard. Now, the other problem is when your salt has, you know, lost its flavor. And Jesus even said here, if salt, meaning if your Christian has lost his salt, you know, the flavor, then, you know, it's better just to throw it on the ground and trample it underfoot. And that's talking about, you know, if you really think about it, salt can't lose its flavor. It's either salt or it's not. But what happens is when salt gets diluted, you can take a little bit of salt and put it in, and you dump some water, and the more water you dump in it, the more dilution happens, so that it's not as salty a taste. The same with if you mix salt in with other ingredients, if you're making a rub for meat or something like that. If you mix enough other things with it, the salt becomes diluted, and then it loses its flavor. It's not as salty anymore. So that's what happens to the to us if we play in the world, and we allow our walk to be diluted down. Now I want to go over a couple basic uses for salt. Some of them you probably already knew. Some of them kind of, you know, I didn't understand why, but now that I've read about it, it makes a little bit of sense. And the first one was kind of confusing because salt was used as a preservative. If you remember, until not too long ago, there wasn't any refrigerators. And I remember my parents talking about it, my grandparents talking about how they would salt meat. And they would dump this salt all over meat, is what I understood, and they would rub it in the meat, and they would put it in a barrel, and that would keep it from spoiling. I didn't understand that. I mean, why did that do that? Now that I've read about it, it sucks the water out of it, and the water's where you get the decay and the bacteria. So by salting it, now I don't know what it, I've never ate something, have eaten something that's salty. And that's why a lot of people, and many people do it today, when you pickle or you make a salt brine and you put your food in there, and that keeps it from, you know, the bacteria from growing. And that's how we preserve things. So salt was used as a preservative. So Jesus was telling the church that you're a preservative. Because salt would preserve food from corruption and stop the bacteria from growing and poisoning food. You know, Christians, we're called to be an antiseptic which opposes moral decay and bring cleansing to a corrupt world. Technically, you and I are called to both confront as well as being able to oppose the corruption that's in this world. Now, if we're not salty enough, meaning the fact that we've allowed our faith to be so diluted down, you know, I talk about this from time to time, you know, the difference between tolerance and tolerate. You know, due to being a United States citizen, we have to accept tolerance, and that's just the way it is. But in my own spiritual life, I don't have to tolerate that. Because I, as a free will human being, under the covering of God, I know what God says in the Bible and what it is I'm supposed to talk about and how I'm to live my life. You know, although it may be legal in the United States, it may not be legal according to God's word, right? So there's a difference. So you and I, as we're called to be a preservative here on this earth, You know, we need to be people of influence to try to make a difference. Now, the sad part is, as a preservative, sometimes we've been told to shut up and we've been told to be quiet. You can't speak your mind. You know, all other religions can do their thing, but Christianity, that's a no-no. You know, that's what we've been told. But, you know, we still need to rise up. If we're going to change the world, we have to be more outspoken and being able to make this stand. Now, today we're talking about lifestyle evangelism, so maybe it's not as vocal, but nevertheless, we still need to live our life. Just because, you know, my mom used to, just because everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you do it? You know, duh. Yeah, that's fun. No. Right? That's why I jumped off the barn. You know, that's why I did some of the crazy things. I walked across the bridge, them old metal bridges where you're about, you know, it looked like it was 100 feet, but it was only about 15 or 20 feet, them old metal bridges, and walking across them, about a 12-inch wide beam. Used to walk across that thing and down and stuff like, just do that just because the friends were doing it, and I did it. Climb a water tower one time. I ain't going to tell the town I did it in because they're still looking for me, but climb a water tower one time, just doing stupid stuff. Why? Because everybody else did it. But just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that we have to do it as a Christian. So we need to see where we fit into the scheme of things as a preservative. Now, secondly, salt was used for flavoring. Now, I know a lot of people like salt. I kind of watch myself. For whatever reason, the last few months, I've been putting more salt on stuff a little bit. I don't know why. But before that, I don't really need a lot of salt. I'm a pepper man. I just pepper the pudding out of everything. I just love pepper. But lately, I've been putting a little salt on for some reason. I don't know if my body's needing it or what's going on. My body doesn't look like it needs a lot, does it? So I don't understand, you know, why it's needing salt. But anyway, neither here nor there. So what salt does for flavoring, you know, back in the day, they didn't have monoglucosides or all them sides. You know, if you read on the side of your can or whatever you're eating, you know, they got all them words that man created that, you know, just, you know, it's hard to pronounce. Well, they didn't have that back then. They just had salt, you know, primarily. And they had other things, too, they could season with. But primarily, salt was your main thing. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this before, but, you know, Christians add flavor to the world. You know, even though the world tries to drown us out sometimes, but what would the world be like without us? It would be a terrible place. A terrible place. You know, when Jesus comes for the church, and the rapture takes place, and the church is taken out of here, it's not going to be a pleasant place down here, is it? You know, so just your presence in a situation adds flavor. It adds good flavor to things. Some things can be really bland in life. Hopefully we live it up. Usually we're considered the prudes, aren't we? Because we don't want to go do stupid stuff. I mean, you know, back in when you was a kid, you did stupid stuff, but after you got saved, that was stupid. I don't need to do that no more. That's where I'm at with life. But, you know, primarily there's a lot of fun stuff. I mean, the greatest revelation, I mean, I know I've told this before, but the greatest revelation I got is that you don't have to drink at a party to have fun. Once I got saved, I was starting to have fun with Jesus all the time. I didn't have, you know, you may think, well, that's silly. But to me, my culture, where I was in life and what I did, I wouldn't go to a party unless they had alcohol because they were boring to me. That's because I didn't have Jesus in me. I didn't have the life of God in me. I didn't have that salty flavor in me. So I thought I had to go do those things. But, you know, that was just a lie of the devil. But when I met Jesus Christ, those things changed. So no matter how many fancy spices that the world has to offer, the glitter and the glamour, you know, all these things, and, you know, the world, you know, maybe they have garlic and thyme and all these other different flavorings, you still need salt. You still need our salt because you can't beat the flavor of God's love. That's what we're supposed to have, is the flavor of God's love. Our saltiness in being able to walk with God and the flavor that we should bring to the situation should not be one of a critical spirit or one of something that is wanting to tear things down or things like this, you know. But we need to bring that spirit of love and that flavor that love has. And as we give that, then that's how we make our difference. Thirdly, salt is a purifier. Now, in reading about this, you know, many cultures would sprinkle salt in an area just to purify it. Now, I know in the Bible you've seen that sometimes they would throw a lot of salt. If you throw too much salt on a field, it'll kill everything. Although it won't kill the weeds in the parking lot. Been there, did that. I tried that once. Had a bunch of salt left over from an ice storm we had a couple years ago. And, you know, salt's only, what, $3 a bag for a 25 or 50-pound bag. So I thought, heck, I'll just go out there to the parking lot. When them, you know, I keep having to spray Roundup, I'll just try this salt. I tried it. It didn't kill it like I wanted to, but I was afraid to put too much because when it rained, I didn't want it to run down and hit the grass. And then, you know, so it's kind of one of those deals. But, you know, but in the Bible, they talked about different people. They would salt the land and it would kill things. So they must have put a lot of salt down. Now, salt being a purifier, like in some cultures, they would take salt to an area and they would consider it sacred. To do that, to clean it, cleanse it, they would throw some salt around it. Because in their mind, that's what salt would do. It's a purifier. Now, I don't know about you, but Christians, we purify the culture. When you and I walk in holiness and being a godly example to a lost and dying world. Now, we make mistakes, don't we? We've all stumbled. We maybe said something, maybe done something, maybe posted something, you know what I mean, on Facebook or somewhere that maybe we didn't, you know, shouldn't have done. You know, that's what grace is about and God's love and forgiveness and that. But primarily, if we're wanting to be the salt that God's called us to be, we should desire to walk in some level of holiness. Now, holiness is one of those old, it's last generation in some people's terms. You know what I mean? Holiness, what's holiness? Well, holiness means that you're just, our God is holy. God wants us to walk like Him. So, what you know, holiness is talking about not letting yourself be stained by evil. Trying to, you know, endeavor to walk more of a pure life. And, you know, that's not by works righteousness, but really it's by the grace of God. But we need to get there. And as we walk in that holiness and we see the purification process, then we know that God is working. I mean, I just look at things that God has brought me out of in my life and how He's made that change. And it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. And it comes by desiring to yield. Basically, if you want Christianity in a nutshell, you just got to want it. Simple as that. You just got to want it. If you want it, God will give it to you. He'll help you. But if you don't really want it, you're never going to get it. You can try. You can try to conform and play the game and be a poser, but it'll never work. You'll never be happy. Because true happiness comes from having the peace and the power of God living inside of us. So all we got to do in our life, and what it worked for me, is I just decided I wanted that more than I wanted this. Life's full of choices, isn't it? Life's full of choices. Do I want this or do I want that? If you get this, you can't have that. You know, we live in a culture where you can only have one spouse, right? Hypothetically, you need to make a choice, right? You should. Now, some people don't choose. They try to juggle both, and that don't work. But you make one choice. You choose one. And Christians have to make that choice where we choose either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world. And that's simple as that. Now, nextly, which I wasn't aware of, is salt is also a fertilizer. Now, that's kind of weird. Because how many know what Roundup is? Roundup's a weed killer, right? You know what the primary ingredient that makes Roundup so strong? Salt. Salt, it goes down to the roots, makes the roots so they can't absorb water, and then they die. Now, but salt is needed to be a fertilizer. Some plants need to have some salt, just like the Goldilocks deal. Too much, graveyard dead. Not enough, malnutrition. So it's like that, what we have to do, you know, with our walk with God. What is it that we need to do? Now, the nutrients, you know, everybody needs nutrients because nobody wants to be malnourished. So what do? I believe that for us to be balanced, I believe balance. I don't like being out of balance. I hate it when my tire is flat on one side and round on the other. You know what I mean? It's out of balance. You got a flat tire. You can't use it. Well, in our spiritual walk, I really believe that there needs to come some sort of balance. And the balance is between worship, the word, and prayer. And I'm going to throw fellowship in there too as necessary. You know, fellowshiping with other believers. But when we get those things flowing in our life, then we can be a better fertilizer to this world. We can be more effective. Because if we're out of balance, we're not in sync, we're not going to be able to accomplish everything that God wants us to do. I've ran into people in the years, not so much here in Albia so much, but back when I lived in Denver, a lot, maybe because there's a lot more people and just some of the people maybe I was around at the time, but you know, people who pray and don't read the Bible get weird. Just simple as that. And I'll be honest, we have people that call us frequently still, mostly Denise, because I tell them they're weird. You know, she don't, for the most part. She's so nice, I mean, to people. But she will get in their face a little bit. But, you know, primarily we have people that, oh, one of them wanted to go up to these mountains and pray, and they because it's closer to God, you know. Which, you know, I don't know. I'm pretty close to God right here. You know, I'd be just close to God down there as I am up here. You know what I mean? Well, this person would go up to the mountains to pray, and they would pray, and all of a sudden, God told me to do this, and God told me to do that, and, you know, and after a while, you kind of tell some of the things God told them was opposite what the Bible says. So guess what? They're wrong. Out of balance. So that's why we need balance in our life. That's why we need other believers speaking to us. Say, how's it going? You know, is everything going good? You know, things like that. And that's why we need to be in church. That's why we need the accountability to have somebody to speak into our life and have other believers that can help tend to us, things like this. All that's necessary. And when we have those things in perfect harmony, then to the world, we can make that difference. We can change the world. I don't know about you, but I want to change the world. I don't like the world. I don't like the way things are going. And it's gotten worse under my watch. I've been saved 30 years, and those 30 years, I've seen things evolve in a negative way. But I do know that God says we have the power. So what do? We got to do something. We can't just wait. So that's why we need to have the balance in our life, and we need each other. You know, I like Denise says, you know, what we do together is better than what we do alone, or alone. Maybe that one's mine. Yeah. Both together we're better is hers. So anyway, you know, that is so important, and that's why we need it, because when our life's in order, we can enrich the world around us. We enrich it. And you need to see yourself as that, because the world, I can't stress enough, the world paints us in a way that we're told that, you like I say, you just shut up. Christians, you can't say what you do. This is a free country. You know, separation of church and state, separation of church and state, all these things trying to tell us to be quiet, trying to tell us to keep it in the church, dude. I don't want it out here. Well, I'm sorry, my God says to go. My God says do it out there. What good is it to show off in here how spiritual we are? It's not going to do anything, not going to make the difference that we want to see. Now, lastly, salt can make you thirsty, can't it? You drink enough salt. Have you ever had a salty meal? I'm trying to think of one I just had. Sometimes I go a little crazy on pizza, you know, putting a little bit too much salt. I love my hot red pepper flakes, and every now and then I'll salt it, especially if you buy the cardboard pizza, you know, the ones, you know, that come, I don't want to mention any names right now, you know, just for getting anybody in trouble. But, you know, those frozen pizzas, you know, sometimes you got to dice those up or you know, put a few things on them and put too much salt. All of a sudden, man, if you get too much salt, and I don't like our salt shaker at home. I'm still going to get some silicone and, you know, glue some of that halfway shut. That's my way of fixing things. Silicone does about anything. I hate to put duct tape on it. I don't think that'd look good. But silicone's clear. You know, so I can maybe close that, but I hate it. You put so much, you start shaking the salt, one little shake, and it just fills it. But, you know, if you get too much, you get so thirsty. And see, that's what we need to do to the world. They need to see that serving God is fun. Serving God is great. You know, having that relationship, that vertical relationship with God is so good that they want it. They see what we have and they want it. Have you ever noticed something that somebody else had? And you just had to have that. Maybe they got a car that you wanted. I got to have that car. Or like kids, it comes with clothes, the shoes. You know, $50 shoes don't cut it no more. You got to have the $100 shoes because they got this little sticker. I'd like to buy some stickers and sell the stickers for $25 and save you $25, you know what I mean, or whatever. But all these things, but we need to do it because as we live our life, people will come up and say, I want what you have. And then we can tell them where we got it. How we do that is, number one, we keep our joy while under trial. Trials are going to come to you and I. But to keep our joy under pressure, that's going to make an impact. That's going to change the world. Showing love in the face of hate. Maybe somebody's called you a name or said something about your kids. And you choose to show love instead of hate. And somebody's going to notice that and say, wow, can't believe you did that. How'd you do that? Wasn't me, it was he. Amen? Maybe show it by caring. You see somebody that has, you know, a need and you show that you really care. Not just, hey, I'll pray for you, dude. Move on. Actually, maybe go over and follow up with that. Pray for them together, and then maybe a day or two later, call them again. Send them a card. Let them know you're thinking about them. That's going to make a difference. So I don't know about you, but I learned some things about salt that I didn't know. And those things can be translated into things I can see as a believer and how I can better be lifestyle evangelist. Now, I want to change the world to make it better. And I believe if we don't do our part and allow our and if we make the mistake allowing our saltiness to be diluted down, then I know lives around me is going to be spoiled by sin. I want to close with a scripture here. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. You can't respond to everybody the same. But by God's grace, you can know how to respond to each different person. So if we're going to change the world, we can't be afraid to be what God's called us to be.